For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
If you weren't scared away by parts one or two, well then buckle up, I've got some work to do. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on facebook.com/allofthe above radio. Or HANKTHORPE. That's me, my name, Hank. Hey, how you doing? The month of Feb is over, and so now I actually could turn on Instagram and look. Hank, hey, how you doing? Or at Hank Told You So. And if you want to get to me directly, that's going to be alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com or THEHRT, that's my initials, number3@gmail.com. It's just past midnight at time I'm talking to you. It's been a bit of a strange day, all told, as I'm chatting to you right now. Where I live in North Texas, there was a very, very ugly tornado watch happening. I believe there was a couple of tornadoes that did touch down in random parts of town. None near me, so I'm told, but I do actually need to check. A little further south of where I live, supposedly some damage did take place. Not totally sure. I'll have to check in on that at a later time. But I'm home a lot earlier than I usually am. And my wife is on a quick vacation visiting her sister and sister-in-law. And so I am in the condo that we share by myself. So I should take a picture of this before the evening is over. I am sprawled out across the dinner table. It's very reminiscent of single Hank days, where my old apartment was not only my dinner table, but it was also my office and also the junk mail drawer and perhaps some other things. It served, that desk served so many purposes. But yes, I'm quite sprawled out right now and I'm ready to chat with you just a little bit. So if you've been paying attention, I gave you parts one and parts two to the rules to being a better bar guest / restaurant guest. And I am pleased to say that some of my loyal listeners have already chimed in with either stuff I hadn't added or gotten to yet, or stuff that I just out and out missed. And you know what? I'm glad they did. So, if you have not listened to those two episodes, it's been a lot of fun to do them, and the feedback up to this point has been 99% good, and the 1% that I would consider not as good was merely somebody concerned for my mental health, which is understandable. It's very understandable, really. For those of you who work in the service industry, most notably restaurants or bars, if you haven't listened to one of those first two episodes yet, you know just how stressful the job can be. Most any job you do is stressful in some way or another. I'll speak existentially for just one quick second. Any job where you depend on it to pay your bills or provide for yourself or for somebody, there's some level of stress in it. But the more it directly has to do with people, you just raise it exponentially. It's just the truth. I mean, I've never been in the Army. I've never been in the Air Force like my sister-in-law, for whom is hosting my wife right now in San Antonio. I've never been a police officer, never been a dog trainer. It's a lot of things I haven't done, but I'm sure they're all some way of stressful. But I do know that my line of work definitely is, and definitely wears on you every now and then. And if you have listened to parts 1 and 2 and you have some stuff to chime in about, please do. allofthe above radio@gmail.com. If you know me directly, feel free to text me. I'm not giving that out. I am not Mike Jones. Not yet. Like we did with part 2, before we move forward, I would like to go backwards just a little bit. So in the last episode, we talked about hitting on the hot waitress / bartender. And I basically reminded you that you need to have a serious riz game. You need to have as much charisma as humanly possible and understand that rejection is probably going to happen, because whatever you say to the hot bartender / waitress, they've heard it before. You weren't the first to say it, and you won't be the last. There's a small addendum I would like to add to that, and this one's courtesy of my wife. If you, the consumer who has just finished your food, hands your server, your bartender, your empty plate and says, "I obviously hated it." So trying to hit on the waitress is the exact same thing as presenting a dad joke to your server / bartender. There's a reasonable chance we've heard it before, and possibly have heard it at the table before you, sitting in that same spot. Listen, man, I'll laugh. I will laugh a true, real laugh if you give me fresh material. I'm gonna give you a "I would like your 22% fake laugh otherwise. But if you come with real material, game recognizes game. Another cleanup topic. Actually, and this is very funny. So tonight, like I was telling you, actually, I kind of forgot to tell you this part. There was very bad storms that were supposed to happen in North Texas today, to the point where when the wind got and the rain got so bad, the restaurant I worked at decided we needed to close early. Which the tornado warnings were so bad that the city kind of sort of shut down. Only the least scared people showed up to the restaurant. It was super duper slow, super duper quiet, and it wasn't worth paying the cooks just how much they make to cook for 4 tables. So we shut down. And remember that conversation I had with you guys about Google being a guideline, and it really makes sense to call every now and then? I'm so proud of people I don't know, because there were several phone calls of people that called us around 7:30 when the rain had started to slow and the tornado warning dropped off and it just turned into a thunderstorm warning. People called and said, "Hey, are you guys going to stay open tonight?" "No, we're sure not." "Oh man, okay, thanks." But you know what? I would guess maybe 5 different cars of people, some with little kids, some of just a married couple in their 50s, a group of 4. There were people that just walked in the door, and we had to tell them, "Oh man, our kitchen's already closed." And this wasn't a fake out, ladies and gentlemen. The oven was already turned off, and the cooks had already been cleaning the floors. They were just about to walk out the door. So, just like I told you in part two, the phone still works. If you think there's any doubt, erase the doubt. Make a phone call. And here's one more cleanup thought before I go too terribly much further. I had a long conversation with you guys about kids and how noisy kid, well, how parents not controlling their children and noisy children are an issue for me. So the original topic was your server slash bartender is not a licensed daycare employee. We're not there to take care of your kids. And I, of course, made sure to spiderweb respectfully into saying, I don't directly dislike kids. I directly dislike parents that don't keep their kids engaged and involved and calm and quiet, or take them outside when they get loud or rambunctious. And I had this kind of funny thought because, and I told you about the experience at the restaurant in Montana where the kids were loud, they're banging on their plates and all of that, and it came somewhat close to ruining my experience, not with my wife, but my dining experience. But here's something funny that I don't know how much people think about, but this is really true. Because when you have that conversation, and I'll bring it together. When you have the conversation of, I live in North Texas, and I've lived here for almost 20 years now. I moved from New Jersey. And when I used to talk about how cold it gets for a very short amount of time in North Texas, my New Jersey friends would say, man, you're a pussy. What's wrong with you? And if I were to just pick up two thermometers and both of them say 36 degrees. Last I checked, 36 degrees is 36 degrees. Now, there might be a different wind or a different set of humidity that goes with it, but cold is cold. And that's it. And so noise, just like cold is cold or hot is hot, noise is noise. And as much as I talked in one of the last two episodes about kids making noise, there is something that is just as loud, just as noisy, and societally, and from a societal standpoint, for some reason is more accepted. And you know what that is? It's a group of women on happy hour. Where I live in North Texas, West Plano, Texas, most notably, where that's where I work, and people that are listening to this right now, there's a fair amount of people that are able to kind of pull this image up because they are familiar with West Plano, Texas. For those of you who are not familiar, you will, as soon as I give you this description, you will just fill in whatever city you live in or wherever you've been. But picture a group of, picture it's maybe 2:45 in the afternoon. Anywhere between 6 and 9 women. They just got done playing either tennis, golf, or pickleball. And they are either realtors, retired, or their husbands make enough that they don't have to work. This group of women all has either a glass of white wine or vodka in front of them. For every three people at the table, there's probably one entree. and there is a lot of noise. There is a lot of talking, very similar to an episode of The View, and a lot of loud laughter, probably as they chat about their daughter's dance class, about their son's baseball game, about their other daughter's volleyball game, about their husband traveling, about their tennis coach, whatever it is. So remember how I told you in one of those two previous episodes that I'm not prejudiced against kids who are loud and misbehave? I don't like loud noise and misbehavior in any age. That is as real as it gets. If I were sitting at a table by myself, I would be just as liable to get up and want to move away from a table with a kid as I would a table of 8 cackling harpies who just got done playing pickleball. So, without further ado, I believe I've handled all of the cleanup topics from the previous episodes. So we will begin with part 3 of the rules to being a better bar/restaurant guest. And we begin with a loyal listener's contributed topic. She travels to do work for a law firm, and so she spends a lot of time in hotels on her laptop. And the topic is, respect people's wishes to not talk to you. If someone is on their computer, Kindle, or iPad, there's a very good chance that they are reading or finishing work. They would prefer to have as little interaction as possible. And other telltale signs, if they have AirPods in both ears or if they are sitting at a table by themselves. And funny enough, just at time of live recording, just yesterday, there was a woman in her probably late 40s. She sat down by herself, got 2 appetizers and a glass of wine, and by the time she had finished eating, she had busted out her Kindle. She's now into her second glass of wine, and as I was pouring her third glass of wine, a table sits down next to her. It's a husband and wife in their probably late 50s, early 60s, and the husband has a billowing voice. It is a classic old school old man who at some point probably had to do some job that required him to speak from his diaphragm and say it with his chest. And then he just never stopped talking in such a way. And she was sitting next to the table, and the next thing you know, she just got up and sat at the bar. And she just said, "It's just too loud. I'm just trying to read." I get it. And I have had conversations about this with my sister before, who used to do a lot of traveling for work, or other friends I know who are traveling. And as a bartender who has seen it happen a time or two, usually when people pop their computers open or have headphones in, it's absolutely right. They are probably in the midst of something very serious that they are trying to get done. And usually you do your best to just kind of point and tap and just kind of look for eye contact versus trying to talk to them. Now, for a bartender, it's a little different because the guest is going to want to engage with me so that they can get what they need and hopefully do it in a way that doesn't make me feel like a scumbag. Remember previous conversations where I said, get off your phone. But if this person is reading a Kindle, staring at their laptop, got 2 AirPods in, the last thing you need to do is to try to engage them in conversation. These people aren't lonely. These people are probably just travelers who just need to get some work done before they go back up to their room and pass out to do it all again the next day. So think of it in reverse. There's certain, for you, the person who is sitting at the bar wanting to include people or have conversation, that's great. But you definitely need to respect when people are not trying for that. And there's a reasonable chance that the next person that sits down after this person, maybe they'll want to talk. Or the person that sits to your right instead of to your left, the person with the laptop, maybe they want to talk. Don't take offense if somebody sits down with a laptop and doesn't want to interact with you. Chances are they're trying to meet a deadline, or they're just trying to decompress, or they're just trying to have a moment to themselves. So try to respect that. And here we are. Back to the rest of the topics that I have written. And by the way, I apologize for my voice. It's a little on the edge of wonky. This part of Texas has very, very, very bad seasonal allergies, and they are some of the worst they've been. And worse yet, I have a doctor's appointment with an allergist for the first time in about 10 to 12 years. And I'm getting the back panel done. And as I'm getting ready to hang up the phone, they tell me, okay, and no allergy medication for 7 days prior to your appointment. So we are sitting comfortably in some of the worst time of the year for pollen and ragweed in North Texas, and I can't take pills to counteract it. So apologies for sounding like I didn't take an allergy pill, because I didn't. Where was I? General. Don't wave at me. Don't yell, hey. Don't snap your finger. If you need me, and this is an antiquated movie, so this is a reference that will be lost in a lot of people, but do like Nikki, the smoking hot from Swingers that Mikey tries to talk to. Just nod your head and look for eye contact. It's an unfortunate truth, but at some point or another, as a bartender, I will make eye contact with every person to make sure you're okay. I mean, that is as good a form of communication as me actually talking to you, is looking you dead in the eyes to make sure you know that I am ready to receive whatever it is you're about to give. I will say this. If you feel the need to wave, this is an elementary school. Please do not put your hand all the way up in the air. This isn't Café du Monde in 1956. Yet another reference that might be lost on a lot of people if you've never been to New Orleans. Café du Monde is the world-famous beignet and coffee place where the servers stand against the wall and wait for you to wave from your table, and then they come to you. So if you are going to wave, please don't. But if you are going to wave, keep your elbow below your shoulder. It's a very weird thing I'm saying to you, but keep your elbow below your shoulder. So basically your thumb is like equal to your ear at this point. You're not raising your hand like you're in elementary school. You're not waving me over like I'm the hired help or I'm a slave. And that's how everybody feels, not just me talking to you right now. Quick fact, by the way. I don't know if you knew this. The word tips, or the word tip in terms of the money that you give to your server or bartender for their service, that's actually an acronym. It actually, once upon a time, stood for to ensure prompt service. So once upon a time, your tip was based simply on how quickly you got everything done. Hence, Café du Monde leaning up against the wall, waiting to be waved at to get your stuff done. It's not like that anymore. I tend to think that people can be treated like people versus errand boys that are just waiting at your every beck and call. Up next, another general topic. And like I told you guys at the end of part two, we were getting into some very deep water, and I could tell that I was going to need to explain some things as we really got down deep, which is why I cut episode two where I did. I wanted to make sure I didn't go too terribly longer than an hour to talk to you, so that you weren't overwhelmed by the information I gave, because here is where we start to get into some very serious information. So, General, as soon as you sit down at a restaurant, whether it's your bar stool or your table, your lease has begun. Every seat at a table or a bar costs money. If you sit in a bar stool, we're paying attention to how long you sit. If you choose to sit at a table, we're paying attention to how long you sit. So you have options. You are to either... So if you are going to sit for... Okay, so here's where I peel back the curtain a little bit. So there is a... So the kitchen... So we know the server, the bartender, the cooks, the management, they know roughly how long entrees take, and appetizers and drinks, and everything is timed. And so most restaurants have some level of time frame as to how long people will actually be sitting in the seats, how long an average dining experience takes at any particular restaurant. So let's say the full experience takes 90 minutes. Sit down, greeting, drinks, appetizers, entree, dessert. Let's just say 90 minutes, just for the hell of it. So, if you sit for the expected 90 minutes, you will be paying rent for the normal expected time, and you will tip as a result. If you choose to sit for, say, the length of a football game, that becomes a very different story. So now you're sitting for no less than, we'll call it, 3 hours. So what I understand is that it's not possible to eat or drink 3 hours worth of food or alcohol. You will either be so full you're passing out, or so drunk you can't stand. So here's what happens. When you sit longer, you are now putting a clock on the next person that could have been sitting there. So you have to pay attention to the rent, to the rental space you are taking up. So it's not enough. If you're going to sit, say, for 3 hours versus the quote-unquote average dining time of 90 minutes, if you're going to sit for 3 hours, you are now not only tipping for the amount you paid or for the amount you ordered, but you are now actually covering the rent. You are now actually tipping over top of it for the time you spent in the seat. Who knows if anybody's ever explained this to you, but the fact of the matter is, and here's an interesting example. We have, there's this one couple that comes into the bar I work at. They are notoriously heavy drinkers, and they are notoriously garbage tippers. So they could sit down at, say, 4:30 in the afternoon, and they could stay until 8:30 in the evening. And they used to do this on a Friday. So if you sit down from 4:30 to 8:30 on a Friday, so first of all, however much you are drinking and eating, you need to tip on that. That's obvious. But also, You need to also pay attention to the amount of people that could have sat in that chair had you got up. It's crazy to think about on a Friday, for example, how many couples or groups or people come and go to sit to get a drink from the bar while they're waiting on their table, or how many people might have to make a movie and sit down, eat, or order, drink, eat, and are gone in 30 minutes. Now you, this person who chose to sit for 4 hours, while I understand you find it a little annoying that you have to tip for people that don't exist, if I see that people are trying to get space at the bar to get a drink and you have been sitting there for 2.5 hours, but you've only had 3 drinks, you best believe I am furious at you. So I give you several options. If you're going to sit longer than the average time of eating or drinking, you better have great personality and bring something to the positive energy / happiness of your bartender / server. You better continue to order so that you're at least ringing up the tab, or you better tip well over top of actual percentage to pay the rent. I mean, the phrase never stops being true. Time is money. And the food that you order, the tip that comes from that, that's one thing. But the time you spend in that chair where other people could have been sitting, that's more money you need to give. Up next, please read the signs and adhere to the house rules. Whenever you go to a supermarket, you probably see the signs that say cannot purchase cigarettes below the age of 18 years old. Okay. Or no shirt, no shoes, no service. Okay. Or you walk into a rental car place and must have 2 valid forms of ID. You bring 2 valid forms of ID, don't you? You show up to a grocery store wearing a shirt and have some shoes on. And actually, funny enough, I walked into a supermarket once with one of my very good friends, and she walked in barefoot because it was Tom's Shoes, the shoemaking company that for every 1 pair you buy, they send a pair to somebody with no shoes in Africa or something, whatever. But they had a national No Shoes Awareness Day. So you wore a flag, a Tom's flag, anywhere on your body, and you walked around barefoot in solidarity with people who can't afford to buy shoes. And we got turned away at the door. So I say this to you. For some reason, restaurants tend to be this weird mental sinkhole where people either pretend the signs don't exist or just ignore them for their own gain. Most restaurants will tell you, from a legal standpoint, no outside beverages in the building. And yet people still walk in with cups of coffee, walk in with a blender bottle filled with bone broth. I can't make it up if I wanted to. Or walk in with, and this is a phrase in 2023, this is an actual thing, I did not make this up, their emotional support water. With a bottle, whether it's a Yeti or a Stanley or a Zach, of it's their bottle of water that they have with them in their car and in the doctor's office and everywhere they go. If the sign says no outside beverages, chances are it's a Yeti. Leave it in the car. It's still going to be cold when you get back out. Which is, of course, tricky in places that are hot, because if you have a plastic water bottle in your car in 98-degree weather, yeah, chances are your water's going to taste like plastic after it's done. I get it. But the sign says, and no, I'm not going to sing like Tesla, the sign says no outside beverages. You know what other signs are present in restaurants? no vaping indoors. And listen, man, I understand vaping can be any percentage of nicotine, but the real reason, and listen, it's illegal to vape or smoke indoors in most cities, but you know why the sign really is there to tell you not to vape indoors? Because nobody wants to smell your ridiculously dumb sweet tart mist. Nobody gives a shit about that. Nobody cares that you went to the vape store and bought banana candy, or that your puff of mist smells like runts. Nobody cares. And quit thinking you're important enough to puff at the bar and make everybody else smell your BS. Come on. And you know what other sign gets ignored? No kids at the bar. That's a big one. And it really does suck in when it's cold outside and a family of five walks in waiting for their table and you've got a two-year-old. And now you're first come, first serve. You sit down at the bar. You, your wife, and your two-year-old are now sitting at the bar. And you want to get a drink before you get to your table. I got no problem selling you a drink. I got no problem with that. What I do have a problem with, and this is how the previous topic ties in, I do have a problem with you now putting your two-year-old in that seat. I have a problem with it because you just filled that seat with somebody that could be giving me money. Yes, I get it. You are starting a tab of two drinks, but there's three seats being taken. You need to be accounting for those three seats. Not the two, for the three. And let's just make it abundantly clear. There's a lot of people who sit at a bar on any given night that want you to adhere to the sign that says no kids at the bar. Why? Because they left their kids at home with a sitter, or they chose not to have kids because they don't want to be bothered by the sound that comes from children, or the sound of you disciplining your children, or they want to sit with the freedom of talking about the most filthy, depraved thing possible without worrying about a five-year-old hearing it and then repeating it later on the playground. If a sign says no kids at the bar, seriously, don't bring your kids to the bar. Your crying baby is ruining the experience for other people, whether you're paying attention to it or not. It's ruining the experience for other people. You gotta think about other people every now and then. And we're gonna have a really uncomfortable conversation for a quick second, and then we'll get right back to the show. I ask you the existential question of when is an adult actually a child? And the short answer is when that adult isn't drinking. A couple weeks ago, I had a family of three that wanted a table, but it was a 45-minute wait. And serendipitously enough for them, a table opened, or three seats opened up at the bar right next to each other. So down sits a man in his lower 50s, the woman in her upper 50s, and their mentally disabled daughter, for whom I would guess is probably in her late 30s, just by looking at the tone of her skin and just kind of the shape of her face and her size. She was a fully 100% realized adult, probably in her 30s. But if I was just going to be dollar store doctor, probably had the developmental level of a 7-year-old. Very little actual words came out of her mouth. Very little speech came out of her mouth. A lot more grunts and guttural random sounds. Which, by the way, I am sorry to say this, but that has the potential to make people uncomfortable. It does. And see, I wasn't bothered
by the fact that a mentally disabled person was sitting in that seat. I was disappointed in the fact that a person who was drinking water and sharing food with the person next to them was sitting in that seat. In that context, you could have put a 5-year-old child in that seat, or you could have put that 35-year-old mentally disabled person in that seat. And realistically, you could put a 55-year-old person sitting by themselves who wants to order off the kids' menu in that seat. When you sit down, like I said, the lease begins and you better pay your rent. That was the previous rule. The rule we're talking about here, read the signs, adhere to the house rules. You don't walk into a grocery store without a shirt on. So leave your Yeti in the car. Or if the sign says service dogs only, papers required, have your papers ready when you bring that little wretched ass dog in. If the sign says no kids at the bar, do your best to leave your kid with the wife or with the husband while they sit in the waiting area while you by yourself come get the drinks. And by the way, as a bartender, if you tell me, "Oh yeah, my wife is over there with the kids, I'm getting 2 drinks." I will walk from behind the bar with those 2 drinks and sit them down with you away from the bar. I will gladly do that. Up next, another general topic. Suggestions and criticism are respectable, but ease up on telling a bartender or a server what a restaurant needs to do. Gotta back off telling your bartender that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Your bartender or your server is not your complaint department. They're barely your suggestion box. And if you expect for colossal changes to be made by telling your bartender what the restaurant needs to do, you may be smacking your head against a brick wall. I have heard countless things where people say to me, "You need to." For example, I had a family in one day who they were with their 2 sons, and one of the sons was on the keto diet. You know what? Good for you. And she's looking at the menu on behalf of her son, and she says, "You guys need a keto menu." First of all, the keto diet, with all due respect to people who lose a lot of weight on it, I'm not going to call it a fad, but it may very well not be something that's important 2 years from now, or even 2 months from now. It may just be another one of those diets that people did for 9 or 10 months, lost 25 or 30 pounds, and then gained 12 of it back. Another one I've heard people tell me, "You need to have a late night menu. You need to stay open earlier." My dentist, actually, he has a buddy who owns a restaurant. He was telling him he needed to open for lunch. They only open for dinner. And see, first and foremost, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to tell you guys a personal thing about me. Please refrain from using the phrase, "You need to," when you talk to me. I am a person who will instantaneously want to do the absolute opposite of anything you ever tell me if you start a phrase with "you need to." Because I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to pay my bills, I need to not cheat on my wife, and I need to honor the words of my mother. That's all I need to do in this life. Anything you tell me I need to do will bounce against my chest and fall to the floor. It's just the truth. So, if you happen to be in a restaurant that is a small group, like a small conglomerate of restaurants or a mom and pop place, constructive criticism or suggestions, they actually can help. They can push along something that could make a restaurant bigger or better. It's true, honestly. Like, there's a little bit of wiggle room for your suggestions to actually land in a positive spot. But you gotta find a less obtrusive way to do it versus saying you need to do this. You need to have a keto menu. You need to have a late night menu. We don't need to do a damn thing. If you're already in the building, what do we need to do to keep you coming back in? You're already coming back in. Come on, people. You can make suggestions. Just understand. Don't make them sound forceful. And understand that they may not go very far. And by the way, if you're trying to make a suggestion, don't do it based on what your favorite bar down the street does. They're who they are for whatever reason, and the place you're at is who they are for whatever reason. You know? Up next, and this one is, this one's very big in my world, and I struggle with my responses to people when I hear things in such a way. Here we go. Don't make a statement without presenting or asking for a solution. So, this is something. So, as we go along in this world, we have learned that there are snarky and or passive-aggressive comments that are thrown around like ping pong balls in a lottery machine on TV in 1986. They're just everywhere. But what you have to learn is, if you are paying for an experience, you are allowed to ask for the thing you want that will make your experience better. Here's what I mean. And this is one that I heard that I never ever forgot. A group of four are sitting at a table. And they order pizzas. One guy gets a pepperoni pizza. Okay, well, fine, whatever. Pepperoni pizza lands on the table along with the other food. I come back, say, "Hey guys, how was everything?" Dude says, and I quote, "There's not a lot of pepperoni on this pizza." And I stood there in silence and just looked at him and said, and then finally I said, "Okay." And the woman next to him said, "Oh, he's an asshole." And I just kept looking. I said, "Okay." And finally he said, "Do you think I could get some more pepperoni on the pizza?" And I looked at him and smiled and said, "That's what I wanted from you." Another example, and I really can't stand when they come and sit in my section, but it's this crotchety old man and his equally crotchety old wife. They're in their late 60s, and they come in and they get deviled eggs. No, doesn't matter what they are. They get deviled eggs, they get a salad, and they share a lasagna, but more often than not. And inevitably, at some point, I will walk over to the table, and he will say to me, "Is the air conditioning on?" To which I'll look at him and say, "What do you really want from me right now?" He said, and he'll say, "Well, it's really cold right now." I said, "And how would you like me to fix that?" And finally, he'll say, "Oh, well, I was just hoping you might turn it down." I say, "And that's what I wanted." Or another example, I had a guy, he ordered a salad and said, "But tell them to go easy on the arugula. I really don't like a lot of arugula." Okay, fine. So I figure out in the computer how to talk to... When you work in a restaurant, you have to figure out two different languages, if not three. You have to figure out what the guest is saying. Then you have to figure out how to articulate it in the computer to talk to somebody who doesn't read English. It's a very interesting decoding and language process you're going through when you have to figure out what a customer wants versus how to do it in the computer versus how the kitchen will understand it. And so his salad showed up, and he opened it up and he looked and says, "There's still a lot of arugula in here." And even as I sit here chatting with you and thinking about these moments of people just saying things and not asking, it really kind of hurts. Because if there's one thing I don't want to do is read your mind. I know exactly what you want. And another example, and this is the last one. At where I work, we set out a grapefruit cut in half as the salt rimmer. A lot of places you go do the old school sponge with the sweetened lime juice. We do a fresh grapefruit. And so the grapefruit was not as fresh as it should have been, and there was flies around it. And there was a person who was sitting right by the grapefruit, and he looked at me and he said, "There's flies on that grapefruit." To which I just stood there and said, "Okay, so what do you think?" And he said, "Well, I don't really want to sit here and eat with those flies out there." All these people had to say was, "Hey, can I get some more pepperoni? This doesn't look like a lot." Or, "Man, it just got really cold in here. Is there any way that we can either move to that table over there or check in on the air conditioning? Or could I get just a little bit more spinach or get a brand new salad with less arugula in it? Or I'm a little creeped out by flies. Is there any way that that grapefruit can be moved?" I guarantee you, I will make more effort, and any server or bartender will make more effort to fix a problem if you actually ask us to fix a problem. If you just actively sit and tell us there's a problem, are you surprised when you get a snarky comment back? Now, and if you don't understand this concept, I'll give you the real life concept. Have you ever been around somebody that says, "I'm thirsty"? This is not like the movie White Men Can't Jump. Trust me, that's a whole other conversation. If somebody just says, "I'm thirsty," but they spend more time talking about how thirsty they are than going to solve the problem by pouring themselves a glass of something. Same thing. People are not actively out to read your mind. They are actively out to move progress forward. So help them move progress forward. Ask. It'll get done. Okay, like I said, we're getting into some very serious stuff here. As I sip my water, I'm staring at a bottle of tequila, thinking it's a great idea, but probably not. It's getting a little late. Let's hope I can get through all these topics so I don't have to give you guys a part four. What I will say, though, allofthe above radio@gmail.com, if we chat about this together enough over email, a couple weeks down the road or a couple months down the road, I can come with another episode of rules that were purely given by listeners. I would absolutely love to do that. I think that'd be a ton of fun. And I will give credit to you guys if you would like me to. If you want me to mention you on air, I'm happy to do it. Until then, we return. A bad online review, Yelp, TripAdvisor, whatever, is passive-aggressive and it's awful. And they should be avoided at all costs on both sides. How, you ask? Well, just like the previous topic, say something or ask your server or bartender to fix it in live time. Even if your server or bartender doesn't have the power to do it, they can get a manager that can fix it. If your experience is not great, I can assure you that most restaurants want your business. So long as you're not an awful person or are in some way, shape, or form making people around you uncomfortable, people will bust their butts to make your experience better. And that's just the truth. So it's really sad. I am part of the management email thread that sees all the reviews, and you get a lot of reviews on Yelp and TripAdvisor and Google where people say the food was bad, or the drinks took too long, or the food was cold, or the server was kind of this, that, or whatever. These are all things that can be fixed if and when your server or bartender walks up and says, "How is everything, guys? Do I need to bring you anything?" That's your opportunity to say, "Well, you know what? Actually, this pasta is cold. Is there any way that I could have them? I don't need a new one. Just reheating it would be great." If you were to say something like that, that not only gets the attention of the kitchen because maybe they were off their game, that gets the attention of the server who maybe needs to pick their game up. And that gets the attention of the manager because now they're going to go over to the table and make sure that your experience is good. You're paying for the food. You're paying for an experience. You are 100% within your rights, if something is not awesome, to ask for it to be awesome. Somebody will probably make an effort. If you were to say something to the effect of, "You know what? I really thought I was going to like this drink, but I just don't. If you need me to pay for it, it's okay, I will, but I really would just rather something else." 99% of the time, they're not going to charge you for that drink. If you ordered lasagna and you didn't like the lasagna, chances are they're not going to charge you for it. If you want to give some other food its fair shot, they'll make it for you. And they'll probably tell the kitchen to hurry up and make it so that you can eat with the rest of your people. And if you don't want anything in that moment, but you did say something, there's a reasonable chance the manager is going to walk over and say, "I'm so sorry, your experience wasn't great. We would love for you to come back. Here's a $50 gift card on me. Come on back. We'd love to see you back in here." If you go the route of not saying something and then getting on Google or Yelp or TripAdvisor later and complaining, that's so totally on you. Bad reviews can be avoided on both sides. The server, the bartender, and the manager all need to be attentive, and of course the kitchen needs to be on their game, blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is, you, the consumer, who thought you wanted a different experience and wasn't getting it, ask for it. Ask for what you thought you want. Ask for what will make you happy. If they can give it to you, they will do so. They will go out of their effort, or go out of their way and make the effort to do so. But you gotta ask. And going back to the previous topic, don't do it by saying, "There's not a lot of pepperoni on this pizza." Which, by the way, don't say that in your Yelp review. Don't get on there and say, "Ordered a pizza, there wasn't a lot of pepperoni on it." You have every chance while you're in lifetime eating to ask for a solution. And the unfortunate truth is, people read those reviews, man. People read those reviews, and people who are not smart enough to decode, they take that crap as gospel and just think, "Oh man, look at that terrible review. I don't want to eat there anymore." And then they missed out on a good experience, or at least a chance of one, you know? And all of the last three, so the topic I'm about to talk to you about and the last two, they all go hand in hand. So my next thought: please don't ever threaten to not come back. Do not threaten to never come back. If you're mad about some, and further, don't bring up how much money you spend there. And please also never say, do you know who I am? Or try to name drop the name of the owner and claim that that's going to solve anything. Nothing makes people shut down faster than you start saying, I'm never coming back here. Do you have any idea how much money I spend? Or don't make us get our lawyers involved. Or don't make me call. I know the owner. We used to play tennis together 5 years ago. Don't do that. It's funny. This is a moment that I will never forget. Of so many moments I'll never forget. I had years and years and years ago, the old beer buyer absolutely hated Revolver, Blood, and Honey. If you live in North Texas, or in Texas in general, Revolver is a brewery in Granbury and in Arlington, and they make one of the most popular beers, one of the most reputable beers in all of Texas, Blood and Honey. For those of you who liked Blue Moon back in the day, Revolver out of Granbury walked in and said, we can do better. And they made Blood and Honey. And man, did it sweep North Texas. There is Lakewood Temptress, Pedicolis Velvet Hammer, Revolver Blood and Honey, Real Ale Fireman 4, Pine House Pizza Electric Jellyfish. I think that's the name of it. Here I am talking about beers with amazing reputation and can't remember if I got that one right. Anyway, I had a beer buyer for a while who hated the beer and tried to bring in other beers to convince people how much better they were than Blood and Honey. And on a Friday night, I had a woman walk up and say, I'll take a Blood and Honey. I said, actually, here's the beer list. We don't carry Blood and Honey anymore. She says, are you serious? That's my favorite beer. If you guys just continue to not carry that beer, I don't think I'm ever going to come back. And that's not the first time that's happened. There's another bar guest that is in probably 5 to 6 times a week, whether it's at day or night. He only drinks one beer. He drinks one beer and one beer only. And he has threatened on more than one occasion, if we were to ever get rid of the beer, he would never come back. First of all, that's a bit of a reduction to claim that the food or the personalities of the people that are serving you the beer have nothing to do with why you come in 5 to 6 times a week. Because you can find that beer a lot of places. It's a pretty popular beer. And I have wanted so badly to be in control of the beer for a small myriad of reasons, but one of those reasons is to call that guy's bluff. I very badly want to go 1 month without carrying that beer that he loves so very, very much and see if he actually, and call his bluff. Because that's just what I like to do. And then just a few months ago, we changed up our menu, as restaurants do. We'll call it anywhere between 2 and 5 times a year, depending on how seasonal and farm-to-table a restaurant is. And we took a specific pizza off the menu. We can still do it because there was just enough people high up that love that pizza. So we kept getting the ingredients in. We just took it off the menu to freshen up the menu. And this woman sits down and she's looking at the menu. She says, I don't see the chicken bacon boom boom. I said, oh, it's off the menu. It's gone. She says, are you kidding me? I said, no, we took it off the menu. And They had been coming in every Sunday for probably the past 2 months at this point. I can't stand them. I absolutely can't stand them because of just how entitled they act and how they think that just because they used to bartend 15 years ago that they understand what I'm going through when I'm getting my ass kicked. And I finally kind of reeled the rope back in. I said, but we can still do the pizza. We still have all the stuff for it. And she said, oh, man. I was really hoping I was gonna be able to keep coming back here. If you guys stopped making that pizza, I don't know if I would ever come back. One of the coolest experiences I had was that same menu change. Some old folks who come in 2-3 times a month, they ordered a wedge salad and we stopped making it. And they said, oh, well, can I look at a menu? I guess I need to find another salad. What if life was always that easy? Instead, you have people that threaten to never come back. Or people that when you cut them off because they've been drinking too much, proceed to say, do you know how much money I spend here? Or do you know who I am? Or do you know who I know? And this is not my story to tell, but my wife, maybe I'll get her on to chat about this more. We had barely just gotten to know each other as coworkers when this happened, but I remember seeing it happen. My now wife, then coworker, was a manager at a place that we worked at together, and a very intoxicated, very self-important man had just been cut off, and she had to carry out the act of escorting him out the door in part of the you're cut off, you're no longer allowed here process. And she's about 5'1" on a good day, and he was probably about 6'4", 6'5". And I watched him, tap on her forehead. And apparently he told her he was going to come back with his gun and shoot her between the eyes. And that's why he was tapping on her forehead. I hate to disappoint you, but nothing in life is that important. And that story that I just told you is the absolute farthest extreme of what we are talking about right now. Don't threaten to kill nobody, obviously. That one's extreme. Me bringing that up is just bringing to the point that some people are just that self-important and that much of a jackass. But for every other regular garden variety jackass, don't threaten to not come back, because there's a reasonable chance if you're a person who threatens to not come back, or if you're a person who likes to name drop, there's a reasonable chance that we don't want your money anyway. I have, the gospel is Randall from the movie Clerks. When the woman loses her mind about which video to rent, and she just says, I'm never going to come back here. And he's reading a newspaper, doesn't even bat an eye, doesn't even look at her, and just says, you'll be missed. And not serious at all. The unfortunate truth is there is some money that's not worth taking. There is some money that is not worth... I would prefer not to pay my bills with people who spend time telling me how much money they spend in the building. I would prefer to not pay my bills with people who threaten to not come back because we took their favorite beer off the menu. You just look awful. You just look overly self-important. And how important are you actually? I don't know. But your money's not that important, and that's the truth. Speaking of money, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're on to the final two, which might take a second. I sip my water and proceed to pour just a little bit more. I told you, I'm looking at a bottle of tequila. But it's pretty late at time of live recording, and I gotta wake up to pick up my buddy and take him to the airport. And I hit it kind of hard yesterday. Well, yesterday time of live recording. I don't need two nights in a row. At some point, my designer jeans aren't going to fit anymore, as Axel Foley would say. Back to it. In 2023, the starting gate for good service is 18%. Anything lower is bad. Cost of living goes up. Cost of food goes up. The floor for the tip goes up, because here's the truth. Minimum wage for a server in most states does not go up. In the state of Texas, minimum wage for a restaurant server is $2.13. We're not going to have the discussion of, well, how did you end up working there? What's your problem? That's your fault. We're not going to have that discussion today. Because it's never that simple. But I will say this. A person who waits tables has the potential to make more doing that job than a first, second, or third year elementary school teacher. These are real facts, people. My former coworker, long, long time ago, was a server and a bartender, and he made more money than his then wife, who was a teacher of, I think, 7 years. So financially, it can be a ridiculously reputable job. But the fact of the matter is, minimum wage is very low. Your tips are how our bills are paid. And if you're still living on the standard of don't tip more than 10%, or 15% is really good, pay attention to how much more groceries cost. Pay attention to what inflation is, or what that cost of living is. Or you could genuinely just ask your server, hey, this might sound like a personal question, but what do you get paid hourly? There's a reasonable chance that the taxes that are taken out by the government are wiping out the actual hourly pay, and the tips you give, preferably in cash, are all that is really what they take away. So I repeat, the starting gate is 18%. And me personally, as an overachiever and a man who takes pride in the service I give, if I see 18%, my first thought is, "20 is much better, but 18% is a good start. 18 to 20 to 22%, that's a really nice zone right there. Anything below 18% is bad. We're not doing this 15% is good anymore. It's just not the truth. And whatever standard Oprah gave you however many years ago, that has always been a lie. That was never up to date. That was always wrong. Start at 18% and go up from there. And I leave it there. And ladies and gentlemen, here is the most important thing I am going to tell you. Of all three episodes, all of the tips I have given you to be a better restaurant or bar guest, this is the most important one I am going to tell you. So listen real close. If you don't believe in tipping, please do not go to full-service restaurants. I'm going to say that one more time. If you do not believe in tipping, please do not patronize or go to full-service restaurants. We're going to sit here for a second and just let that breathe. But here's what you need to know. Like I just told you, I don't know what minimum wage is in every state. I know in California, because cost of living is through the roof, minimum wage is higher. I know in certain states it's different, but I know in Texas it's $2.13. The tips that you are giving your server is how their life is made. Whether they're just a 22-year-old paying for grad school, or a 19-year-old smoking hot girl who lives with her parents and is just paying to party, or a 44-year-old man who just got done helping paying half of a wedding. Your tips are how our life is made. So, I will say it one more time and then I will proceed. If you don't believe in tipping, 18% or up, by the way, please do not go to full service restaurants. And here's the and you may be thinking, gee, Hank, hey, how you doing? You might be thinking, but boy, I really love when I eat Mexican food at the this, that, or whatever. I really love a good burger. I really like a great steak. So here's the thing. In 2023, we have, and really in just in these most current years, we have seen such a boom in quick service restaurants. By quick service, I mean you walk up to the counter, you order, they give you a table, or they give you a number, and you sit at a table, and they walk your food out. So, over here to the left is McDonald's, or fast food, where you walk up, you order it, they hand it to you, they call your name, and you're done. And then, on the other side, is full-service restaurant, where a host sits you, a person gives you your drink, your food, your tab, everything. There's no, I gotta get up and go over to the desk at the breakfast place and pay for my pancakes. None of that. But then in the middle is the Chipotles of the world, where you walk in, or the Blaze Pizza of the world, where you walk in, you order, and chances are, as soon as you pay, the food is in your hand and you walk away. You don't have to tip. The quality of the food does not have much of a drop off. And you've spent considerably less. Because here's what I'm going to tell you about going into a full service restaurant. The line of quality between a full service restaurant and a quick service restaurant like a Chipotle, the quality of the food is actually not that different. But for a place like Chipotle, you're paying the people who make the food and ring it up, and you're paying for the cook and for the cooks in the back and very little else. That's why they can charge you, we'll just call it $9. I don't know what they actually charge for a burrito. I have no idea. Let's just call it $9. But if you sit down at a full-service restaurant and order a burrito, chances are they're charging you, we'll call it $16. Because they have to pay the server that is taking your order. They have to pay the bartender that is making the drink. They have to pay the host that sat you. They have to pay the cooks that prepped it. Then they have to pay the cooks that cooked it. But wait, there's more. You are actually, in that $16 for the burrito, you're also paying for the music subscription service. And you're paying for the TVs and the DirecTV. And you're paying for the paint on the walls. You ever notice when you go into a Chipotle, there's no TV there. You walk in, you customize it, you pay for it, you eat, you leave. But with full service, there's actually a full experience also. So if you've ever said, I don't understand why I'm paying $16 for this burrito when I could go to Chipotle? Well, I have news for you. Stop going to a full-service Mexican joint. Just go to Chipotle. If you don't understand, I'm here to tell you why. But if you still wonder after you and I chatted, just keep going to Chipotle. That big restaurant, that full-service restaurant, the restaurant is not offended that you're not coming in. They're more offended if you go in there and tip 12% because Oprah told you so. Or you tip 12% because you don't believe in tipping. Or you tip 12% because you spent $16 instead of $9 and you're not used to it and you don't have enough and you don't have the correct amount of money to tip to cover what you ordered. So please, one last time, I say to you, if you don't believe in tipping, please don't go to full service restaurants. You won't be missed. Understand that those full service restaurants, like I told you earlier, time is money. You sitting down, if you know ahead of time that you're a person that doesn't believe in tipping, you have absolutely wasted the time of somebody who, for lack of a better word, needs your money. It's a strange world that all of us in the service industry live in, where not only do we directly answer to bosses who tell us the things that we need to do or the things we need to improve on, the things we, the side work and the this, that, all the things that we need to get done. Not only do we depend, not only do we, you know, take orders from our bosses, but we also take orders from you, the consumer. It's a very crazy business as to you make your money by having to answer directly to two different types of people, your boss and your table, your guests. And believe me, I have on more than one occasion smacked my head against the wall, physically or proverbially, in the midst of really crappy experiences or really crappy people. But just as quickly as I can be banging my head over crappy experiences, I can think about all the things that working in the service industry has afforded me. Like I said a few minutes ago, a rather extravagant wedding, if I do say so myself, where my wife looked amazing. The music was great, the food was phenomenal, and I had an amazing entrance. Among other things, you know, family getting together and unification and love and all of that. But if you take nothing away from my time chatting with you in these last three episodes, the sum up could be something to the effect of, understand that time is money. Understand that your money is important until you become a jerk. And understand that if you talk to your server or bartender with respect, you probably will get anything you could have ever wanted. You know, it's amazing just how many times you can say, you know, it's not that hard. But sometimes it does actually seem to be. But really, and I'm sure more skeptical people in the world, if you took the time to listen to these three episodes, you may have had that kind of skeptic slash haters thought of, well, Hank, if I follow all these rules, how am I going to have a good time? Or, is it really that serious? Do I really need to adhere to all of these? Or some of the effective, man, you just sound like a curmudgeon. If you were to just write all of these rules down on a sheet of paper,
walk up to your friend who is in the service industry, a bartender, a server, whatever, and just hand it to them. Watch how many times they nod their head. Watch how many times they roll their eyes and say, oh God, I remember when that happened. Just look at the agreement that comes from the faces of people who work in this industry when you, the skeptic, shows them this or gives them a link to this episode and parts one and two. This is all very real stuff that I took a very long time to think about and compose. Because at some point or another in my life, I have felt this. I have noticed this. I have been very, 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 very keen to it. So I hope this message finds you all in a spot where you are willing to learn and also willing to laugh and maybe even willing to agree. And I saw an infogram on Pinterest a while back that said something to the effect of the best apology is a change in behavior. So if you are listening to this and have ever done any of the things I talked about over the last three episodes, you're welcome to apologize. But you know what? The best apology is changed behavior. The next time you go to a restaurant, if the last time you were there, you thought 15% was just so good, but you love going to good full-service restaurants and want to be a part of that experience, tip 20. If the last time you were there, you just happened to talk to your server in a passive-aggressive way and say, man, there's not enough cheese in this macaroni and cheese, flip it around and say, hey, you know what? The last time I was here, the mac and cheese just didn't feel cheesy enough. I actually really don't want to go to the bathroom anytime soon. Can you have them put some more cheese on it? I'll pay extra if I need to. Chances are you won't need to pay extra. And they'll give you the extra cheese. You don't want to be in the bathroom a couple days? Just ask nicely. We got you, bro. Come on, we got you. This has been a lot of fun putting this together, and I can't wait for my friends in the service industry to really give this a listen and to really give me the feedback. And I can't wait for you to give this its full listen and give the feedback. alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. is how we will start the dialogue. Because a couple months down the road, maybe I'll do one more follow-up to this. I'm going to return to regularly scheduled programming and just talk to you about everyday life again. But I couldn't go any further until I finished this thought process. Just every now and then when you're working on that 1,000-piece puzzle, I don't do it, but I see other people doing it. My wife, she's great at them. When you're doing that 1,000-piece puzzle and there's just that one spot that you're missing and you just keep trying to fill it and keep trying to fill it and you just won't let yourself move on until you have finished that spot. I feel as if that spot is finished now. Once again, until you guys get back at me, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com with your rules that I missed or your stories to talk about the rules that you agree with. Either way, I cannot wait for all the feedback and the correspondence. I've said it before and I'll say it again and again and again. I appreciate every last one of you who listen to this. To every last one of you that tells me how much you love the content when it's here and miss the content when it's not. I think about you guys when I go long bouts of time without. And maybe, just maybe, we are here in the month of March and I'm still working on doing 30-day goals along with my wife. Maybe this is the month that I try to give you 4 completed episodes before the month is over. So effectively 1 a week. I'm not going to say you can put it on the board yet. Maybe I'll save that after I record a second one in the month of March. But we're off to a good start, aren't we? So we will do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. My name is Hank. May there be a next time. I say till next time.